listening to the Charlie Polillo Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Tri-Eagle Energy. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Charlie Polillo.
Well, I'm all for good use of fight songs, one of the defining components of college sports over the pros. There has to be a cougar somewhere who can help me out with this. I want a good studio quality copy. If you're not a U of H fan or alum, maybe you don't get the reference. But the talking about the Cougars thing they'll play during a lot of the timeouts at basketball things. It's just good. It's fan engaging. And I like it, just as an alternate to the Cougar fight song. As we talk some college basketball to close this hour, U of H head coach Kelvin Sampson, as I like to get to on the program from time to time. Big game tomorrow night at the Fertitta Center. The 20-1, 13th ranked nationally now. Cougars 7-1 in conference play. Temple Owls here. And, well, at least for the marquee, it's a vengeance match, right? The only team to beat U of H, controversial ending to the game up there 3 weeks ago. So there's an opening as we welcome Kelvin Sampson to the program. As always, I appreciate the time, and I know your players have to have at least a payback. We owe them for that one. Do you address that at all in terms of maybe downplaying it as a coach or all in with it as an extra motivational point?
Probably no to everything. We played so poorly in certain areas, Charlie. I'm not sure we deserve to win the game. I mean, when you play bad, you're going to get beat. No, not, shouldn't be any revenge. Revenge shouldn't be your thought process. Play better. You know, there's, you know, we addressed that the next game. You know, that game was so long ago that we played so many games since then. But the revenge, no. Talk about it, no. Just got to get better this area. We didn't rebound it. They went to the free throw line 28 times. They made 25. We went to the free throw line 17 times. We made 11. So do a better job making your free throws. Don't put them on the free throw line so much. So that's what I'm talking about.
Hey, I don't want to overly pick at a scab, but one of the subplots of that game was, I think there's pretty good consensus, the ridiculous technical over the tie. Now, it was a league game. Now, maybe there were three first-time officials. Do you let them know after the fact or the league office after the fact that, look, every game at some point, whether it's getting a little hot under the collar or I'm frustrated at my team in a moment, this was not going off on the officials in a close game. Don't be throwing away points like by giving out a technical on that.
You're right. It shouldn't have been called, but I don't know what calling the league office can do. You know, I've taken it off a lot of times since then, and the technical wasn't called. It shouldn't have been called then, but it was, and league office can't do anything about it. You know, there's the league office works directly with the guy that runs our officiating program that assigns the official. So, that's the thing about working with officials. They're independent contractors. They don't answer to anybody. You know, when calling the league office, what are they going to do? They can't do anything. They call what they want to. They do what they want to, and they just move to the next game. That was probably one of six games they had that week. And sometimes you get them on a bad night. Sometimes you get them on the sixth game and six nights. You just never know. So, but you don't. There is no avenue to complain. You can call and complain to people all you want. It's not going to do any good. So I don't.
You are 7-1 in the league. Cincinnati, of course, is right there. Central Florida is a factor. Temple is a factor. Looking for a real resume builder. Had Cincinnati down 14 in the second half the other day. How do you see the league race? I would say that this conference is perhaps more top-heavy than a couple of the other power conferences. You think this can be a four-bid league?
You know, last year it was really top-heavy. You had three really good teams in Houston, Cincinnati, and Wichita State. I don't think it's top-heavy this year, though, Charlie. I think the middle or the perceived middle has moved up closer to the top, and I don't think we have one team that stands out above the others. I think, Cincinnati was picked to win the league. Central Florida, UCF, was picked to win the league. Cincinnati was picked second, and we were picked third. And when the season's over, that may be the way it goes. You don't know. There's so many basketball games left to be played. But Central Florida is still really good. Everybody's going to get nicked here now and then. We know we had a great year in the conference last year, and we lost four games. You know, we may lose three or four or five. Who knows? I mean, it's game to game. Just because you're winning doesn't mean you're going to continue to win. That's why you have to manage distractions. You're managing attitudes. You're managing social media. You're managing 18 to 22 year olds. There's an unpredictability about what we're doing. You know, we're focusing on practice today, and people are talking about NCAA tournament. I mean, it's, you know, when you start to win, it's not like it was in November when we had no distractions. You know, we didn't have many fans. We didn't have a lot of people that believed in us in November. So it was a lot easier to coach your team then. And then you get to December, and now we start getting more fans. You know, here we are in January, and we got a lot more fans and a lot more speculation, a lot more predictions, a lot more distractions, all that stuff. So, you deal with a lot of stuff as the season goes on. You know, we had a great year last year, and you could feel it building as we went along last year, and this year is building a little bit earlier because of our record and our ranking. But you know, we're still the same coaches, we're still the same players, we're still vulnerable. We have great aspirations, but you just never know. That's why I just stay in the moment and don't worry about the last game or Temple if we lost, and I don't worry about who we have coming up. I think it's really, really important as you go through the season that coaches and players stay in the moment.
Do you watch a lot of college hoops within the season beyond your league play, or once you get into the conference, that's pretty much where the focus is and you have your team and family life to handle? Or do you catch all that you can?
To be honest with you, Charlie, I probably watch more NBA than I watch college.
Interesting.
I watch so much film preparing for the next game. You know, I have some really good friends that, you know, if their team's playing, I try to watch them in case they call me and want to talk about the game. I have that happens a lot. But, you know, if I have a free moment, I just like to watch the NBA. I like to see what they're doing. You know, if they're doing anything new out of timeouts, you know, special situations, baseline out of bounds, sideline out of bounds. And I always have a notebook and a pen with me because, you know, you never know when you're going to learn something. And I so much loved scouting teams in the NBA when I was in the league for 6 years. And so I have a connection there. And so when I get a moment at night. Now, if the outlaw Josie Wells comes on, I'll watch that.
That movie, or you're a Clint Eastwood guy, period?
I love that movie, man. I don't know why. I love Braveheart. I love Gladiator. I love Chavo, Josie Wells. I don't care how many times I've seen them. I still like watching them. But I'll flip it over and watch an NBA team, especially if it's a coach that I really respect.
Hey, on the NBA, as we're talking with U of H head coach Kelvin Sampson, Temple tomorrow night at the Fertitta Center. On the Rocket staff for not quite three full seasons, know you developed a very strong relationship over that time with James Harden, and it's not as if he was lurking in the weeds at that point, but since you catch what you can, what level of, oh my goodness, over what he has become and specifically what he's been doing during this recent jag?
You know, when he first started this streak, I don't talk to James much during the season. We do text a lot, and you know, I was just throwing stuff at him, and you know, we were going back and forth. But that's when I can't remember the date, but he had this one of his early huge 40-point nights, and you know, I was just telling him, you know, how much I respected this, how hard he worked, because you know, that's the thing that makes James so good is that before practice, during practice, and after practice. You know, NBA practices are what they are. They're not like college practices. But as soon as practice was over, Charlie, nobody works harder than James Harden in his routine. He has a routine that he lives religiously by. On game day, shoot-arounds are usually at 10 o'clock in the morning. The visiting team usually goes at 11. As soon as that shoot-around's over, James does his routine. He'll get up his 100 shots. And then before the game, somewhere around 5:15, 5:30, on whatever time it is, it's the exact time with him, he does his routine again. Charlie, he does that every single game and every day he practices. He's good because of the work he's put in, not because God gifted him with talent. So when I think about what James done, I just have so much respect for how hard he works at his craft. He hasn't gotten better because he's gotten older. He's gotten better because he's learned to work and do it consistently.
A couple of things before I let you go, at least for this visit. About midpoint in the conference schedule, the rest of the way as your team continues to evolve, grow, and ideally, of course, continues to improve, where do you see the most growth potential still?
I think our guys that are coming off the bench, Dejon Giroux, Nate Hinton, Chris Harris, Cedric Alley, Bryson Gresham, I think that's a big key for our team is our guys that don't start. And I would feel comfortable, and I mean saying this, Charlie, I feel comfortable starting them. But we've tried to start this. The only change we've made in the lineup is Fabian White. He's at Atascocita High School for Cedric Alley Jr., who's from Klein Forest High School. Those two kids, decided to bring one off the bench and start the other. But I just think keep developing Dejon, keep developing Nate. Chris is developing and helping us, making sure Bryson stays sharp. You know, you're coaching a basketball team during the season, Charlie, is a lot like being a firefighter. You're always gonna have a brush fire, but you want to make sure you get that thing put out before it becomes a forest fire. So we're always working on something every day. Today something's gonna come up that we're gonna have to deal with, and then we'll deal with it and get in practice and try to get better.
Chris Harris, opportunity knock, 10 boards in 20 minutes at Tulsa. Breon Brady is okay. Was that just bone on bone that hurt like hell, but he's all right for tomorrow and beyond?
No, you said it right, Charlie. That hurt like hell. That thing, he had a big old knot, like getting hit upside the head, and a knot comes up. He had a knot, but he practiced full speed. I held him out of practice on Monday, just so he could ice and get treatment. But he was good yesterday, and I know I saw him in the weight room this morning with Coach Bishop. So Breon would be ready to go.
Lastly, since it is Super Bowl week, Rams, Patriots, or completely indifferent?
Completely indifferent on the teams, but I pull for Tom Brady. I'd like to see him do good.
Just admiration for greatness, sustained greatness?
Very rarely do we have a chance to see the greatest ever. We're also era driven with our choices. We know what we see. I saw Oscar Robertson, so I remember how good he was, and Wilt Chamberlain. And I was talking with Elvin Hayes the other day, and I said, Elvin, who was a better player, Wilt Chamberlain or Shaquille O'Neal? And he went into a diatribe with me about why this guy was better, and before it made just total sense to me, but unless you saw those players play at their best, it's hard to argue.
Wait, was his answer Wilt?
His answer was Wilt.
Oh, I hope so. I was going to say, now Wilt versus Kareem. Now there's the one we could sink our teeth into. Alas, another day, I guess.
You know what, Charlie? I'm going to ask him about Wilt and Kareem. Because of UCLA and Houston, I got a feeling what he would say. Though.
Yeah, that would probably tilt the bias meter a little bit. Kelvin Sampson, 20-1 at U of H. Of course, he's not focusing on the record. It's game-to-game improvement. But quite the story, U of H and Temple tomorrow night at the Fertitta Center. Looking forward to heading back over there. Kelvin, as always, thanks for the time, and good luck, continued health and success for your ball club.
Thank you, Charlie. Always appreciate you having me on.